David Eagle's blog, read by David Eagle. This one was posted on April the 23rd, 2012. It's called A Stroke in the Park. Dear Madam, I imagine that it is very unlikely that this will actually reach your attention, but I will write it anyway in the hope that it might, and so that I can offer you an explanation and apology about the traumatic experience you faced in the park last week. My intention, however, is not entirely pure, as I am also talking about this incident because I believe that the people listening to this will find it funny, although there is a good chance that more people listening to this will actually just be horrified. And so, with that hopefully tantalising introduction, let me attempt to explain myself. The story starts fairly innocuously, certainly not as exciting as my previous blog post, which saw me standing at a Pelican Crossing. My friend Phil and I decided to toast the glorious sunny day with a visit to the park. Phil brought his guide dog, but I didn't see a point in taking my cane, since the park is only a minute's walk away. Had I taken a symbol of sight loss, then the whole sorry affair would have been avoided. As soon as the guide dog gets a whiff of the park, he always speeds up. There was also a strong glare from the sun on this particular day, so I made sure to keep close to Phil and the dog so as not to lose them. So the dog tears off as expected, and I run after them, making sure that I am right behind. We turn a few lefts and rights, and then the dog slows down to a much more leisurely pace. I am aware, though, that the dog will probably speed up at any moment, and so I make sure that I'm still hot on their heels. As we progress, we start to make a few more turns. We gradually increase speed again. We are suddenly making a lot of sporadic turns. Left, then right, right, left, left, right, right, left. I'm sure you get the general idea. I probably don't need to elaborate on the nature of turning. I assume you're all reasonably familiar with the concept of turning. Then the dog increases speed even more. We are now running again. The turns become more and more sporadic. I manage to keep up, though. Eventually, after a couple of minutes of running and frantic turning, we come to a stop. Apologies to any grammar pedants who are listening to this. I am aware that I am using the present tense to describe events that took place in the past. I was doing this to heighten the drama, and I'm sure that the non-grammar pedants among you were appreciating the thrilling narrative that I was creating. You were on the edge of your seats, with me all the way, feeling my every turn and speed change. But I will revert back to the past tense for the time being, so that the grammar pedants don't take umbrage and stop listening and seek refuge in the solace of their Lynn Truss book. Incidentally, a word of advice. You can buy a copy of Lynn Truss's exposition on English grammar and language, Eats, Shoots and Leaves, from Amazon for very cheap. But be warned, some of these pedants take a strange and perverse pleasure in grammar. And there are a number of rather dirty pedants out there who may have been reading the book while engaging in certain activities. My advice is to play it safe and buy the book new. There is a very rare sexually transmitted disease going around the grammar pedant community that experts believe is being passed on through used copies of Eats, Shoots and Leaves. The NHS did try warning these people by sending out a leaflet about the disease to everyone on the government's database listed as an English grammar pedant. But unfortunately, the message never reached them due to an ill-conceived comma in the first sentence, which meant that the leaflets went straight in the bin, unread and unheeded. So yes, my advice is to play it safe and buy it new. Or make sure that you sterilise before reading. Or, on the other hand, you could stop being so pedantic about grammar and continue reading badly written drivel like this blog. I was sweating and panting due to the last few minutes of exercise. In fact, I was sweating and panting like a perverted pedant with a Lynn Truss book. As I got my breath back, I turned towards Phil and the guide dog. I bent down to stroke the dog, and as I did so, I gave a contented sigh. Ah, excellent. But my sigh, exclamation and broad smile quickly evaporated as soon as I realised in horror that I wasn't stroking a dog. I was stroking a child who was sitting in a pram. The woman who was holding the pram gasped and pulled the pram away. The pram struck my leg as she reeled it round. As soon as I realised what I was doing, I of course pulled away. But the woman wasn't going to be tempered by that. After all, it was the tiniest of conciliatory gestures after what she'd just been through. Presumably, I must have lost Phil and the dog as soon as we entered the park gates. They must have ran off somewhere, and I, my sight being even more impaired than usual due to the glare of the sun, mistook the woman pushing a baby in a pram to be Phil and the dog. So I made sure that I followed right behind them, a lot closer than any innocent man would ever dream of following a woman pushing a baby. I suppose this explains the increases of speed and the sporadic turns. I thought it was a bit of an odd course we were taking. She was obviously trying to shake me off and check that I was definitely following her, hoping that I would relent and leave them alone. But obviously I had no intention of relenting and leaving them alone. I was hot on their heels and, as it transpired, hot on their wheels. Every turn, every increase and decrease in speed, I matched. Eventually she came to a stop, presumably in the desperate hope that I would overtake her. I stopped immediately after she did. I stood right next to the pram. I was panting and sweating. That probably didn't help. Then the worst part. I bent down, reached into the pram, and stroked the thigh of her child, while sighing contentedly and intoning in a low voice, "Excellent." I barely had time to register what had happened. The woman rapidly turned the pram around and made to head in the opposite direction. But I couldn't let the poor woman go, thinking that I was a child molester who had been following her for 5 minutes in order to stroke her child. I was desperate to justify my actions, to explain that all of this had been a silly misunderstanding. Then we could both go on our way, both of us feeling better about the situation. The woman's mind would have been put at ease. Perhaps she would even laugh about it once she had realised the ludicrous mistake. Perhaps she would be so relieved that she would embrace me. She would burst into tears, and in her relieved and impassioned state, she would tell me all about how she has been so scared and worried of late since the child's father left her. How would she manage to bring the baby up all by herself? I'd be so relieved that I'd survived the whole ordeal without being physically abused, and in the heat of such an unlikely emotionally fueled moment, we would fall in love. I would pull her close, kiss her softly, and tentatively tell her that I would stay with her by her side forever, that I would be there to comfort her and cherish her, that I would take it as a personal responsibility to rear her child. No, perhaps rear would be the wrong word to use, given the circumstances. Anyway, none of that actually happened, surprisingly. I got a bit carried away there. I suppose I'm just a bit lonely at the moment. I appear to have lost my copy of Eats, Shoots and Leaves, and so I've had very little relief, if you know what I mean. So in my desperation to qualify my actions, I intercepted the woman's path, standing in front of the pram, halting it with my foot. Now was my chance. I would have to say something immediately, otherwise she would think that I was stopping her from leaving, and that I hadn't finished with her and the child yet. This would obviously freak her out even more. Oh my God, I was now stopping her from leaving. That is exactly what she would be thinking. She was definitely starting to panic now. She didn't say anything. She just gasped and tried to pull her pram around me again. I really had to say something quickly, otherwise she would leave, thinking that she'd been followed by a child molester, and she'd probably be afraid to venture out again. I moved around so that her path was once again blocked. I opened my mouth to speak, looked into her eyes, and then... "Come on, David, speak! Say it's all a misunderstanding. Tell her that I'm blind. Those few simple words could make everything okay. But where to start? It seems so simple now, with the benefit of hindsight, but in the pressure of that moment, I became completely lost for words. I thought about the ridiculousness of what had happened. I could sense the woman's panic increasing. I had now blocked her path twice. The whole crazy, farcical situation suddenly hit me. How had I got myself into this incomprehensible fix? So what did I do? What did I say? I did what I often do in overwhelming, embarrassing situations. I started laughing. I couldn't help myself. It just happened. Waves of uncontrollable laughter overtook me. I coughed. I spluttered as I tried to stop the laughter. I slapped myself in the face in the vain hope that I would come to my senses in time to redeem the situation. Obviously, this display did nothing to quell the woman's fear. She had been confronted by a man who had just followed her for 5 minutes, stroked her child, and was now spluttering, laughing, and slapping himself in the face. She turned the pram around again. I was too busy, doubled over, laughing, tears rolling down my face to stop her. She broke into a run. I desperately, and with great effort, pulled myself straight, stopped my laughing, and shouted, "Sorry! in her general direction as she tore across the park. So, at least I got the sorry out in the end. I'm sure that that made all the difference, and she'll be fine. It's difficult to know quite what to offer by way of a conclusion to this tale. The moral of the story is? I'm not sure, really. I've not heard any reports of a child molester on the loose, and believe me, I would know. I like to keep my fingers on the pulse about that sort of thing. Oh dear, I think I'll go before I dig myself into an even deeper hole, although that hole might come in quite handy if I need to hide from her angry husband, who may be searching for me. If it's any consolation, I did feel bad about it. But look on the bright side. I may have managed to reach the poor lady somehow through this blog post and offered her some blessed relief. At the very least, I've probably given entertainment to a few of you with a warped sense of humour, although repelled and appalled a good many more of you. Yeah, I bet you wish you'd gone for that Lynn Truss book after all.